I think one of our most guilty, quote-unquote, pastime is to analyze, commentate, and criticize others. I think we know why. Because, as a matter of fact, there are news channels that are made for that. They commentate 24/7. They talk over and over and over again, and they beat us to death with panels of experts from one to the next. But, you know, they can argue about anything, right? But after a while, after listening a while, we become uncritical ourselves. We get things that are being fed to us by our favorite news sources or the people that seem to align with our values. And we stop analyzing, reflecting, and discerning all things according to the truth, not just political truth or human truth, but eternal truth that comes from God. And the uncritical mind is a very dangerous mind because it's an ignorant mind. A mind that only work the eternal value of the gospel and of faith to fit our human values instead of conforming our human values to discern, to let go of things that do not fit the eternal scope of life and what God wants of us. And it's a pity that oftentimes, as the election gets closer and closer, oftentimes we become more divided as a nation. And I want to ask you this, if we believe that the devil exists, that all these divisions that are happening right now, who benefit? Who benefit from all that? The evil one. The evil one sowed division among us. And when we remain in our own division or in our own self-righteousness and not help our brothers or sisters seek Christ or help one another to walk toward Christ, who benefit? Each and every one of us remain behind our own self-righteousness. Yet none of us are willing to go over the chasm to reach out to the people who perhaps don't always follow or see things that we are. How pitiful would we be if we only live in a society, in a world with people that are only think like us, so that it helps with our ego, it soothes our mind, but it does not challenge us to grow in sanctification. God knows. Perhaps he knows so well that if all of us agree on one thing, it would be the end of the world, right? Because we all have our own humanity to work through. And that's why Jesus said, if two of you agree on what to pray for, I will listen. Jesus got joked there. Perhaps he knows that two of us, when we get together, we can't agree on the same thing to pray for. Because we oftentimes put our own self-values first instead of what he wants from us. And that's why we need the church. The church in times like these remind us that our faith journey isn't our alone. We are not saved by our own self. Or do we go to heaven by our own self? We're all in this together. We're all in this journey toward Christ. And oftentimes, each and every one of us, even though walking toward Christ, we're at different pace, different stage of life, different walks of life. And it's perfectly okay that even though we don't agree with one another, we can still lift each other up and love each other in our differences. My brothers and sisters, the readings today, the first reading and the gospel reading give us that what seemed to be a contradiction. First, in the first reading, we're called to call out the error of our brother if he had done something wrong with us because we want that conversion of heart. But Jesus also tells us too, he's adding more free qualification on top of the prophet taught us. What did he say? If you disagree with your brother, first of all, don't go on Facebook and start posting things. What did he say? Talk one-on-one. The words of Jesus, if we have a disagreement, talk one-on-one first. And if it doesn't work out, then invite two other people. And then tell the church to reconcile. If that person continues to be hard-headed, then of course he or she have already excommunicated him or herself from the church because of the hardness of heart. But Jesus teaches us that patience, doesn't he? He teaches us to approach the human being and be the behind all of the differences, to work it out first. Instead of whenever someone disagrees with us, we blast them on the news media. We blast them on social media. We blast them in public with our rants and rage pages. Is that Christians to do? Is that loving? Is that patient endurance? What does St. Paul said? Love means no harm to the neighbor. Love does not do any harm to our neighbor. St. Paul said clearly today in the second reading from his letter to the Romans, if we truly love our neighbor, we cannot harm our neighbor, because our neighbor is also created in the image and likeness of God. And that's why love is the fulfillment of the law, because we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Oftentimes nowadays, when we disagree with someone or don't see eye to eye on something, we wish our neighbor or the people we disagree with bad things. Is that what Jesus wants? Is that what our faith teaches us? Are we willing the good of our neighbor, or are we willing the evil upon them? It's hard. That's why it's hard to patiently bear wrongs and to patiently allow God to be at work when things don't go our way. As a matter of fact, I actually have my homily worked out in another way, but today I received a very personal sad news that about 2 a.m. this morning, one of my former parishioners in Denton, I came to know her because she used to sign for the masses in Denton for the deaf and impaired people. So that's how we come together. She said, Father, I always remember my first conversation with her. She said, Father, when you do your homily, I need you to slow down a little bit or else I cannot sign, you know? You need to slow down so I can sign so other people can hear. So that's how I came to know her. And then my last year in Denton, that's when her breast cancer returned. And it was very vicious. And then she came to me at that time, especially when she knew that I was about to move out here. She always joked with me, Father, I have a problem with patience. I cannot be patient with the Lord because I don't know what He wants from me. And especially when her cancer was getting more vicious, where she can no longer do signing, when she can no longer be at church, she felt like, she told me through Facebook Messenger and through letters that she felt helpless and she felt useless because she can no longer be a product or an instrument of His peace to others. So through one of our conversations, I told her, Martha, do you know that you have such a beautiful opportunity to unite your sufferings with Christ? When you're suffering, would you please pray for me and for all the sinners who are in need of conversion, or the people who are hopeless? So from that time on, we would always joke whenever we talk on the phone or through communication. Whenever she told me, Father, I'm struggling with patience, it means that she's struggling with patient suffering, to bear suffering out of patience for the Lord and to seek the Lord therein. My last conversation with her was about a few weeks back. And she told me, Father, I'm hurting so much right now. and the pains are immense. But I remember what you say, and you are in my prayers. I cried. I cried when I saw that, and I actually told her this, Martha, you are one of my heroes in the faith. Because you choose, even though it's hard, to patiently bear all things that are going on with you for the love of Christ. She speaks to me as a Christian louder than any preacher can, because she preached the gospel of willing to bear all things for the love of Christ. And I always tell her to pray for my three parish and the people that I minister to, especially in times when I tell her that in times when I feel insufficient or in times that I cannot help people, I need her to pray for me that God is at work in them too. So I truly believe that what's going on with our three parish, with my own priestly ministry, the things that have happened and continue to happen are the products of her prayers. And many more people too in my own life that I personally know that are praying for me, praying for you, and praying for the people that I encounter each day. We are a product of prayer, and there are so many people, perhaps people across the world, that are suffering right now, but in their suffering, they said, Lord, I unite my suffering to you, and I pray for those who are in need. And we benefit and we reap from those fruit and those benefits because someone prayed for us, someone patiently suffered for us, someone is willing to unite to the Lord with us. How beautiful is our faith that we know that even in our sufferings, we're not alone. That even our sufferings have meaning because Christ is able to use all things for the love that changes us first. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, at the church, Christ teaches us to seek reconciliation and seek forgiveness and seek unity. Don't let the devil creep in and divide us deep from within. Don't let the devil, whatever cheap tricks he's using to think that God had abandoned us or we have gone away. We have never been perfect in our own human history. We've always screwed up. But the grace of God is still at work. And for those who seek the grace of God at work, he or she will be able to feel the nearness to God, even though he or she is still having to learn how to be patiently waiting for the Lord. Each of us have a problem with patience. I do. But yet, even with whatever going on with us, the Lord is there, and we can unite our prayer in order to help our brothers and sisters who perhaps disagree with us, who have hurt us, to bring them back to the Lord. Even when we cannot do it physically or humanly speaking, we can still do it through prayers. Lord, I'm lifting up this person right now. I'm disagreeing with this person right now. This person have hurt me so much right now. But I'm lifting this person up and I'm praying for his or her good, that Lord be at work in him or her as you are at work in me. So that in the midst of everything that are going on with us, we know that my brothers and sisters, just like St. Paul said, love is the fulfillment of the law, because love wills the good of one another.